This morning, the simplicity of Jesus. The simplicity of Jesus. One of the things that the enemy tries to do is to complicate. He tries to confuse. And this, of course, is his way of obtaining control. This is his way of confusing man by complicating situations. And we're living in an age and generation where so much today is blown out of proportion. So much today where people want to make a mountain out of something that is so simple. And it's the devilish work of the enemy that tries to do this. One of the things the enemy loves to try and do is to blow things out of proportion so that fear, anxieties, worries will manifest. And that's what he likes to do. Because when he can hold us in fear and anxiety and worry, he knows that they are the demonic forces that cause our eyes to turn away from looking to Jesus. The enemy is not stupid. And therefore, that's why I'm calling this teaching this morning, the simplicity of Jesus. Now, the simple statements of Jesus are always a challenge to us. And the reason being is because we're so often oppressed by confusion, by fear, by anxiety, that we fail to grasp and receive the simplicity that is found in Jesus' teachings. That is one of the problems. And that's why so often it takes such a long time to be able to drop from our heads to our hearts what the Lord is actually saying to us. And it's because we still give access to the enemy with regard to worry, fear, anxiety, and so forth, which will always attack faith. You see, life won't let us walk in simplicity. Life, because the world has sinned, and sadly at the moment Satan is still the god of this world. That is why he complicates things and he messes with man's mind. And you know, with the age of technology and all the breaks that we see today, what comes with that is a tremendous amount of complication. And with that is attached anxieties, fears, and worries. And of course, these are the problems today that are affecting human nature. And this is why we have so many illnesses that are manifesting today that weren't around 200 years ago. So we need to turn to scripture, don't we, in which to get delivered and to find out what God is saying to us. And I find that every year God always brings us back to Matthew 6, and for a very good reason. And we're going to be looking at verses 25 through to 34 of Matthew chapter 6. These are some of the profound sayings of Jesus we still need to adhere to and to grasp and learn. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through to 34. And here it's under the context of not to worry. And he says here, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what you shall eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we eat wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We've read this many, many times, but entering into it and living it is completely another matter. And sometimes this is our problem, where we have portions of scripture which are popular, which are read often, which are read in churches up and down the world and everything, and we can almost apply that attitude. Well, I've read this many times, and you know, it's something I've got underlined in the Bible and so on, and yet we can still miss what is said here. And this is why we're calling this teaching this morning, the simplicity of Jesus. Now, our problem is we won't keep it simple. And it is a problem. And this is why we're being delivered. This is why our teaching of the deeper life is a ministry of deliverance. And it is a deliverance ministering to man's mind. Man's mind has to be, putting it crudely, be reprogrammed. Before we were saved, our minds were completely open and a slave to worry and anxiety and fear and doubt and confusion and all the rest. And we're certain certainly learning that Rome was not built in a day. Our whole life and walk every day with Jesus is fundamentally a walk of deliverance. And when we use the word deliverance, we mean when we come to a change of mind, a change of thought, a change of attitude, where our eyes and ears are open to something that is wrong, we now can put right. Worry is wrong. Anxiety is wrong. And the reason that that is stated there, not only the world held by it, but the reason why some of these demonic forces are exposed, because there are demons of worry, of fear, anxiety, these are demonic forces attacking man's mind. And here they are clearly exposed by Jesus' ministry to us. Remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And we all of us have to wake up to when fear is working or anxiety is working, you address it exactly what it is. That is a demon oppressing you. And it has no hold over you. It's not even to be a part of you. For you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And that is how you overcome. And it is not what you are saved for. And yet the enemy wants us to take second best every time. And it is not a part of us. We have been redeemed for wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. The same as we address the same with sickness. That is the deeper life. That is what God has presented to us. That is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, pressing on into a deeper walk. That is its ultimate goal and aim. But for that to be achieved, brothers and sisters, we must keep our walk and relationship simple with Christ. And there are the problems that arise. The problem is we won't keep it simple. And one of the reasons why we don't keep it simple is we're still asking why. Now, we may not say that to the Lord now. We may not say, Lord, I'm not going to ask you why anymore. But the very fact that worry, anxiety still oppresses means that in your heart you're still wanting questions. I want to know why. And many times pride can be attached to that. We still have this attitude, well, I have a right to know. We have no right to know if we have received Jesus as Lord of our lives. If we have, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, presented ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, it means that I have surrendered my life totally over to him, which means that I am delivered from asking why or probing into things that God doesn't want to reveal and show me. Now, there may come times that God will show us, but he very often never shows us at the time when we want it, and he has a good reason why. Because faith is going to be simple, and it's going to entirely trust in the love and faithfulness of our Lord and Savior. This was a work that God was doing with Abraham all his life. And it is the same work that he's doing with you and I. A child doesn't keep asking its parents, its mother and father, do you love me? Will you provide for me? A child doesn't ask those things. It assumes, believes, relies that God, that mother and father will do that. how much more with our Heavenly Father? Now this, of course, is why we've got what we have read here. And again, we're just going to open this up a bit to familiarize ourselves with some of the things that the Lord is saying here. For example, back in 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry. There's the first demon. And that is one of the strongest demonic forces in the spiritual realm that paralyzes and holds the world. Our history books are filled with what worry and anxiety has done, creating wars, problems, confusion, you name it. That demonic force is found in everything, trying to work. And the worry is with regard to your life. That is why, through the fall, man has now within him instinctively that fight for survival. And of course, psychiatrists take that up. You have been delivered from that fight to survive, survival. Your life is now hid in the life of Jesus Christ, who now lives his life in and through each one of us. It's not about your life, my life. It is about the life, the fullness of the Godhead that now lives and dwells within me. Therefore, we don't need this survival to live. Now, of course, if we find ourselves falling into water, well, we're going to instinctively swim. Or if those that can't swim, try to swim. It's naturally there, built within us. But that doesn't alter the fact that my life now is hid in Christ Jesus. But this worry that the Lord is speaking about here is a worry about your life, about your surviving, about me having to find food or be anxious about whatever God is going to provide. He's saying you don't need that worry. You don't need to fight. You don't need to do it yourself. I want you to understand I will provide for you, and even more than you can even begin to think or understand or conceive in your mind. And he certainly does, because as I say so often, our Heavenly Father is the most gracious, giving Father we could ever, ever have. And he says, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, and so on. All of those things of which give us life. We die if we don't have food, and so on. So he says he will provide for all of that. He says, are you not more than food, and the body more than clothing? So he says now to the Christian, each of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, are you of not more value than all these things that the world out there strives for? Certainly about clothing, about food, all those things that the world are held by. He's saying, you are more than that. So why do we bring ourselves down to the world's level and anxieties that they're so gripped by? Why do we bring ourselves down to that level when he clearly says here that you are more than that? You are above that. You have something special and different in your life. You have me living, dwelling, communing, fellowshipping with you. Therefore, is that not enough to deliver us from these anxieties that the world is held by? This is why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. You will know by their consecration. You will know by their love. You will know how they walk, how they react, how they speak, how they treat one another. These are all the things that are so important for us to shine as lights in this world of darkness. But sadly, so many professing Christians live and look and act like the world. And God isn't going to have it, certainly with the overcomers. And our problem is, our life, our faith, is not a simple one. We won't let it be. And the reason we won't let it be simple, because we want to know why. I still want to be in control. And God, with some of you, bless your hearts, He's working and working where your lives in the natural are getting out of control. You are finding you cannot control the things that you once felt secure by. The ground becomes shaky. Things have started to be removed. We are seeing a tremendous shaking now in the world. And God says He will shake the heavens and the earth, and He will shake, and He will shake, and He will shake, till nothing is left, only those who stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Everything else will fail and fall. This is why God is speaking to us today, to deliver us from this. He wants you to know the foundation that you stand on. And there's only one, and His name is Jesus. And He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Profound. The nature of a bird is to obey its God-given impulses that God has placed within it. Yes, even animals have fallen because of what man has done. But in many ways, they've fallen differently to human beings. A human being fell into sin. It's the result of sin that has affected groaning creation. But they have a deeper understanding of their God-given abilities than we humans. Because they're not concerned where their food is going to be, whether God is going to provide for them or not. They know. I marvel at birds when they come on the ground, on the grass, and they look around. You can't see those worms, but they can. And they know exactly where to poke their beaks into an area, and there is a worm found for them. But you didn't see it, I didn't see it. Because they obey those God-given impulses that they naturally have. We don't obey. We're rebellious. We have to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And indeed, He's doing that in and through us as He delivers us. And one of the ways He delivers us from this curse of worry and anxiety that keeps us more separate from God than anything else. Because worry, fear, anxiety attaches so many other things to it. Praise God in His love and mercy, He's delivering us. And then He goes on, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Oh, how we would love to be taller. How we would love to look 20, 30 years younger. How we would love to look like those stars that are so worshipped today in entertainment, in cinema, and so on. The world's gripped and held by that. And this is why we have some of these problems today of anorexia and these modern diseases, because people are obsessed that they want to look and act like these people that they see in magazines and newspapers and on television and so forth. They have a huge influence. It is so corrupt over society. And yet, look what the Lord says here. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Which of you can change yourself? You can't. Only the Holy Spirit is going to change you, and he's going to change you into the likeness of Jesus. And if that's not what you want, then it's best you don't walk with the Lord. Because he's always going to work first in the inner man, in the heart, to change us. That is where he always works. He's not going to work with how you look, how your hair looks, how your makeup looks, how your clothes are, or whatever it is. He's not going to work that way. He's going to work in your heart and change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Because he's not going to have us looking and acting like the world. He's going to have us looking like Jesus, walking temperately, modestly, in love, devotion, unity, and oneness. We're delivered from all the cares and the phobias of this world. That is what it should be. So why do you worry about your clothing? Notice the word worry keeps coming up all the time, which he's using. It's one of the key words. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They don't ask themselves where they would like to be planted. They are planted wherever the Lord puts them. And there is the same divine principle for all of us. We are planted and placed where God puts us. Yes, what it means in that job which you can't stand. Yes, it means placed you there for a season to do a work. Or maybe in a relationship, or somebody in the family that you have problems with, or a brother or a sister, or sadly even the wife and husband. God has planted you there. He has placed you there to do a work. And the same as those lilies, they don't toil, they don't spin, they don't react. They simply grow in the conditions that they are placed in. And of course, a lily is a beautiful flower. There's something celestial looking about it. And so it's exactly the same with us. We read many times in Scripture where the saints of old were placed in situations where in the natural they didn't want to be. But that's where God was glorified. That is where he used them. Joseph was put in prison. Who would want to be put in prison for all those years? And yet he remained there for God to mightily use him to be a deliverer for Israel. In those days. Look what glory God had through that. Look what was seen, just like those lilies that are seen. So it's exactly the same for us. And I might add, it's exactly the same in the body of Christ. God places us as a gift into the body to be an expression of his love to the body of Christ. To be there, to be used. This is why I'm always saying it is important you are placed into his body to function. We have too many Christians of going from one ministry, one church to another, visiting that, and they don't ever grow. They're resisting being planted, placed where God wants them to be. They're spiritual Romanies. They just go from place to place. or they go from relationship to relationship, from friend to friend, and so on. Those sort of people are not reliable. And sadly, they are found in the house of God, where there are some people who are just not reliable because they are fighting against being placed, being planted by the mighty hands of God. There it is. We've just read it. And it goes on in verse 29. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So look at what can be established by being planted by God, where your roots go deep. Why, even Solomon in all his glory and all his kingdom that he built and his wisdom, and that was pretty spectacular in those days, yet what says, what I've done with you is even greater. How wrong we get it in our thinking and our minds. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So all those things are passing away, but you're not passing away. You are eternal, what is placed in you. You have heavenly rewards. You have a place being prepared for you. You have eternity set before you. How much more? That is precious in God's sight. God's preserved us. And yet here we are, we can still get so anxious, worry, and so on. And then he goes on, therefore do not worry. Here's that word coming up again, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So he knows. Are you going through a financial difficulties? He knows. End it. And stop asking why. Are you going through a real trial at the moment? He knows. End it right there. And get back to a simple walk and relationship with God and leave the whole complexity in his hands, because he knows. And stop asking why. Because you're not going to get an answer. Because you walk by faith and not by sight. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. There is relationship. There is commitment. There is getting your priorities right. That is putting the kingdom, putting what is of God's concern, making those priority in your life and not your own concerns and worries and fears. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry, here it is again that word, but about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And this is why I constantly say to you, live for this day, live for the now, this moment, for Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. Let this afternoon, let this evening, let tomorrow, let next week if he tarries, leave that with God. It is not your concern. Those birds of the air are not worried about tomorrow or next week. They're just consumed in looking for their food now, this moment, and they always find it. As Jesus said, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Because he's always there. And that's what's so wonderful about this. So these verses, as we've been looking, have been dealing with worry, anxiety. And they are to go because we maintain that simple relationship with him. And not only him, but with each other, because we're in fellowship. So fellowships are often divided because they're not getting free from worry and fear and anxiety. That will cause trouble in fellowship. It robs harmony, unity and oneness. But as we get delivered from this, so we are completely free, set free, to love and be concerned about my brother or my sister and not about my own personal needs, which is what fellowship is about. This is why we become resentful when others don't sympathize with us or when they don't understand. I don't want to hear about, oh, it's worry that's your problem. It's very easy for them to say that, but that's exactly what worry does. That's exactly what anxiety does. It makes you resentful. It makes you jealous of your brother or your sister. That was the first murder, Cain, Abel. I can guarantee you worry, anxiety, and those things that afflict the world was working there. And Abel offered that better sacrifice than Cain. And we all know the story of that. We see Cain and Abel every day in this life. You've got it in your family, you've got it at work, you've got it in politics, you've got it in the world, you've got it in history, everywhere. That principle, that spirit working, that caused what it did, you see it everywhere in the world. And the other problem is that we think we know better than Jesus. And that's why we want to know why. And that's why we're still deceived with our fears and worries and anxieties, because I'm in control, I know better. Yes, as somebody just put up, pride. And that's why God delivers us from pride. Because that is what pride will do. And that's why we allow the cares of this world in which to enter. We become our own worst enemy. Now, let's look at Matthew 13 and verse 22. Matthew 13, verse 22. And we know this very, very well, the parable of the sower. Because here is another problem, and this is what fears and anxieties and worries will do. Verse 22. Now, he who received seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful believers are those who are caught up in fears and anxieties and worries. And that is why the enemy wants to oppress the body of Christ with fears, worries and anxieties, because it's stopping the seed of the word rooting into your heart. Satan is no fool. He knows how to do it. Now the question is whether you're going to let him continue to do that in your life or not. And brothers and sisters, it is no good you saying, right, I'm hearing this now, I'm fed up with this fear, worry and anxiety, it ends now, it's going to change. Because I'll tell you this, nothing will happen. Nothing will change. The only way this will change is when you take this word and you drop on your knees before your Heavenly Father and cry for mercy, for grace. Lord, you know how to change this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. I am desperate to be changed in this area because I want this for your glory. It's about you, not about me. And when saints start to approach God in that way, we will see big breakthroughs going, and particularly even in this church. That is how you approach Almighty God. Too many listen to a sermon and think in their own pride and their own strength, I'll change from now on. And it doesn't take a week before we fall flat on our face. That is not how you change. That is why God calls us to relationship. This is why he calls us into his presence for change. Come now and let us agree together. This was Israel's failure. She thought she could do it in her own strength, her own pride. And that's why she never made it into the promised land. And many professing believers are doing exactly the same today. There's no shortcuts to repentance. Very often repentance, change, deliverance means you stay before God's presence until you're finally delivered. And it doesn't mean that you go out and do your own thing. But it means you're consecrated in that area and you remain and you stay there until the mighty hand of God touches you. Just like the persistent widow that kept knocking and knocking and knocking at that door, was not going to be denied. That's how you get deliverance very often. What does it say in verse 26? But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And that's what happens. And that's why sadly we have this in the house of God. But God says he'll separate the tares from the wheat in due course and time. And that's what he does. We've seen it happen and it continues to happen because the two can only grow for a certain time together. Then they have to be separated. As the fruit is not brought forth as God wants. And so like those birds of the air that obey the instinct that God has placed in them, so we likewise yield over to the Holy Spirit who's now placed in our lives. And like those lilies, they grow where they are planted. So we the same, we're going to grow for the Lord wherever God plants us. The Bible tells us that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. So we certainly know by being planted into the body of Christ, into that local assembly, you are going to flourish. You're put there for a reason. And that is why we're to get those roots, and those roots are to go down and be, because in time we will be seen. So, a final word, going back to Matthew 6, something that is sometimes overlooked in verse 30. Now, if God so clothed the grass in the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Are you, brothers and sisters, experiencing the much more? That word, those two words often are left out. And that is why we hold to the deeper life teaching. It's about experiencing the much more. And the much more is for those who want it, who hunger and thirst, who are fed up of just being Sunday Christians, who just profess an outward show Christianity, but those who want to walk as disciples of Christ, who want to walk in complete unity, oneness and fellowship with him, they are the ones who will experience much more. If you can go as far as you want in this, God has taken all the limits off. And I trust today that this word inspires, encourages, I'm going to even say provokes you to reach out for more and more that is to be found with your walk with Jesus. But we have looked very clearly this morning what has to go. Those fears and worries and anxieties. And the only way that that will go is a simple walk with Jesus Christ in simplicity, receiving his instructions, his touches, everything he does and says in complete simplicity, and not asking why, or you feel you have a right to know why. We know nothing unless it is revealed to us from our Heavenly Father, and that is the simplicity of which Jesus walked in his earthly ministry. He made that very known and very clear. I do not know, I know nothing unless it is revealed from above. And he experienced that on the basis, because he was not asking why or asking questions, he knew that his Heavenly Father would provide everything and more for his ministry and what was needed. He relied on that. And so our ministries and the greater works that we believe for are going to come from that simple principle. I cannot see it coming from anything else. It's not going to come from pleading. It's not going to come from assuming that we're overcomers, God's going to do this, or whatever. It's going to come as we simply trust him. Don't ask any questions. Just know that he is Lord. He is in complete control. He never makes a mistake. And it means that we have to be willing to surrender the whole self-life up to God, and allowing the life of Christ in us to live his life through us. You cannot reach out to a rebellious, unlovable world that is out there, that is getting worse and worse, that is falling away. We can only embrace this world in our ministries through the love of Christ, through the compassion of Christ, through the mercy of Christ, through the faith of Christ, and so on. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about the life that lives in me. That is the only basis we have for our fellowship and our coming together. And that's why we're here today, brothers and sisters, because we are experiencing and seeing it is about his life that lives in each one of us. That is the simplicity of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus. see.